Hey everyone, welcome in to a daily editorial here on the KE Report. I'm chatting with Ed Moya, Senior Market Analyst over at Oanda. Now Ed, I want to get more or less a comprehensive update on a number of different markets here, taking into the account that today pretty much everything is higher except for the US dollar. And when I make that comment, we look at the broad averages and the NASDAQ is for the most part, or the Dow is for the most part flat, maybe a little bit in negative territory, but NASDAQ, S&P, those are up and building on some of their recent gains. We have the precious metals, those are up. Base metals, also up. Oil, also bouncing back. Treasuries, those are also up. So again, a lot is up today. Let's start off with the US dollar, because that is the one of the only major markets that I am seeing that is down. And the dollar is below that 92.50 level now. It's starting to bring into question if this run that we saw through the first pretty much full 3 months of this year, if it is starting to peter out, because now the dollar is actually below its 200-day moving average and falling. Ed, what do you take away from the dollar being down today?
Well, I think the dollar right now, it's still tracking treasury yields. And it does seem that long-term treasury yields have definitely hit a wall. I think that the highs we saw at the end of last month, that's definitely proving to be strong resistance. The 10-year treasury yield today just alone is down 4 basis points. Real yields too. The real rates are, I think there was so much buzz that, you know, we're going to finally see real rates eventually turn positive on this potential tapering by the Fed down the road. And it just seems that, some of the moves in treasuries kind of got ahead of themselves. And I think right now, despite, you know, some of these strong economic readings, you know, a mammoth non-farm payroll report, today also just added confirmation, the jolts for February, job openings, just roaring back. There's just so much momentum right now. And it's being reflected early, even as the U.S. is still, in vaccine mode. We have 18.8% of the country is fully vaccinated. That is tremendous. And I think there's this complete optimism that, you know, we're going to have herd immunity. Everyone that wants a vaccine is going to have the ability to get it in the next month. And I think that all this risk on momentum, you know, it's going to be good for risky assets. And I think what we're noticing, too, is Europe is starting to finally get some optimism here that people who want their vaccines will have a chance by the end of June. And I think that, the dollar move could be at its end. And we're going to probably start to see that markets are going to become a little bit more optimistic on Europe, because Europe's been really dragged down these for most of this year. And I think you're probably going to see that, you know, the path for yields, it's obviously going to be higher. I think that is a given. But I think right now we're starting to see that the markets are becoming a little bit more conservative as far as on that trajectory. And I think that's why we're starting to see this dollar move is consolidating. And I think that eventually you'll start to see that, depending on how the global economic recovery unfolds, you could see some emerging market currencies really struggle against the dollar. But in the end, I think that everyone is kind of focused on a strong second half of the year across the board. And that should really, I think, accelerate the dollar's decline. So right now, it does seem that, that this could be we could be very close to the end of the strong dollar move. And I think you're going to probably start to see lots of investors start scaling into bearish bets against the dollar.
Okay, so you started that answer by saying the dollar and yields are connected, and it sounds like you are more bearish on the dollar right now, but you also said that you do see the argument for higher yields in the longer term. So does that mean that relationship between the dollar and yields is going to, well, not become so positively correlated?
Yeah, I think that's going to be my big takeaway. I think eventually when we start to have much more optimism across EM in Europe too, you're going to have global bond yields across the board start to rise, and I think one of the big takeaways is going to be inflation too. I think no one has a strong handle on that. You could easily make the argument that we're going to overshoot and there could be some sustained inflation given there's so many potential drivers here. I think what we're going to probably see is that I think markets are going to really anticipate that taper tantrum is going to happen probably at some point by the end of the year. And you're probably going to see that investors, for the most part, are still going to remain, I think, very bullish for European assets and especially EM. I think that the situation with the some of these emerging market countries, we've seen India, Brazil, they're still dealing with near record level cases of COVID. And, it doesn't seem that there's going to be any optimism anytime in the immediate future. So I think that there's been a lot of pessimism for emerging markets. You also have central banks of those respective economies really starting to focus on inflation. Inflation in EM is much more prevalent, and I think you're going to probably see that interest rate differential is really going to become more noticeable in the second half of the year. And that's going to really drive, I think, that carry trade once again, and the dollar is going to become a funding currency. I think until EM has a much more stable view, and that might take a lot longer. I think, the optimism is for Europe by end of June. Emerging markets might not see that until much more closer towards the end of the year. But I think at that point, the global economic recovery will be so strong that investors will be scrambling for yield, and I think they're going to see it in EM. And that's why you're probably going to see that even as the 10-year treasury yield makes a run to 2%, 2.25%, possibly higher. I think 2.25% is where I'm anticipating things will hit stall speed. I think you're still going to have, I think, the dollar weaken. And it's going to be a very choppy trade going forward. But I think that correlation is going to end with higher treasury yields and a strong dollar. But for right now, it seems that in the short term, that's how things are playing out. And we're probably going to see, I think, some further dollar weakness in the short term. And it could become much more accelerated if things start to become even more optimistic in Europe.
So, Ed, do you think if yields, let's say, get above 2% or even up to that 2.25% target that you have, does that finally start to attract some of these investors to put their money into safer yields because they're paying a little bit higher levels of interest? Or is that still not enough to switch that whole focus of everyone seeming to just simply go into stocks?
Well, I think right now, the current environment right now, I think stocks are going to just remain the preferred choice for everyone. I think that you're probably going to see that, especially in the U.S., that the amount of stimulus that we just passed, the $1.9 trillion, that really hasn't hit the economy just yet. The reopening momentum, we're really going to start to get better signs of how this pent-up demand is going to be unleashed to the economy. And I think you're going to see that prices, I think, are going to be really – they're going to really overshoot. I'd be – surprised if we didn't really hit 4%. But I think there's so much optimism that you're going to have the Biden administration also deliver on infrastructure spending. And that alone is good enough, I think, to help send stocks another 5, possibly 10% higher. I think that there's just too much momentum that is still going to happen here. And right now, too, I think there's this belief that, Europe is finally going to attract a big wave of investors, too. And I think that right now, the U.S. is the preferred, I think, choice for most global investors. And I think you're going to see that the Fed has done an amazing job in just signaling that, they're going to remain ultra accommodative. The Fed is, in unison with the Treasury. It just seems that there is just going to be relentless support for this economy. It's going to run hot. And I think that's just, it's too bullish for stocks right now. I think right now we're seeing stocks really to struggle to break out much higher. I mean, like, yes, the S&P is up over 1% now. It was struggling earlier. But I think that the trajectory is clearly higher. I think what we're going to start to see is investors are going to really kind of look to become a little bit more selective as far as which companies will be able to live up to their valuations. But in the end, I think there's strong optimism that, you know, big tech, it was due for some weakness due to that cyclical rotation, but it's been rather minimal. And I think that right now it just seems that markets are poised to rally, and it doesn't seem that anytime soon we're going to have a big catalyst here for a sustained pullback.
All right, Ed, let's talk about these markets, because you even outlined in your daily note just how strong the breadth has been, especially in the S&P. It's the best breadth that we have seen in over a decade. 95% of stocks in the S&P are over their 200-day moving average. Break down just how rare that is to see, and does that make you think that the market's getting overheated, or are we entering another period where every day we're just going to see a general increase in stock valuations?
Well, I think when you take a look at the industry groups, and when you take a look at, you know, that how well they've done over the past year, you know, it's fascinating to see that it's retailing, it's materials, transportation, we've semis and equipment have been very strong. And some of these gains, they're all above like 60%. It's just really fascinating to see just how strong everything has bounced back already. And a lot of that is because financial conditions remain very healthy for this recovery. I think that you're probably going to see that, you know, the Fed is content to see the Treasury yields continue to rise as long as financial conditions are not threatened. And right now, it just seems that we're in a sweet spot right now. There's a lot of pent up demand. There's more stimulus coming. There's infrastructure that is going to be unleashed. And I think what we're also going to anticipate is that when the rest of the world becomes in a better position, that's likely to be rather positive for risky assets in general. So I think that you're probably going to see multinationals then kind of extend the next leg higher. So there's just we're at a position right now where because the Fed has done a very clear job in signaling that, you know, their interest rate increases are not happening this year, I'll argue that maybe you could make the case that it could happen end of next year, but they're really signaling it's going to be much further down the road. And I think that what's going to change their narrative is if we do start to see all those jobs come roaring back, and there is, I think, potential that we could start to see that, you know, we're still in the deficit about 8 million jobs, and you know, 8 million jobs are not going to come back in 3 months. It's going to take a lot longer, but I think that the potential is that the optimistic view is going to remain that we're going to have the majority of those jobs come back by the end of the year, and the Fed's going to be forced to you know, have those discussions that, you know, okay, we're in a position where we can finally start to talk about tapering. And I think though right now these next few months, it's all going to be about data. People are going to wait to see how high do we overshoot inflation. And right now it just seems that all systems are go for U.S. equities. And it does seem that, you know, markets are overly bullish. So whenever you get that extreme positioning, you know, it's always good to be a little bit nervous when that happens. But for right now, it seems that momentum is in place. It's going to take a lot to really derail this optimism.
So just keep riding that optimism trade, that reopen trade, and that easy money trade, hey? But one other thing we also need to consider today is also the bounce back in gold. Gold is up about $14, $15. And the base metals, they are also up too. Is that mostly just because the decrease in the U.S. dollar? Or do you think there will be another shift back into precious metals or even base metals after both have pulled back? Precious metals, a lot longer time frame it's taken for this pullback. Base metals, it's only been maybe a few weeks to a month that those have been pulling back.
Yeah, and I think, you know, tackling base metals first, I think that, you know, the whole infrastructure discussions, negotiations. I think that's kind of provided a very positive backdrop for the argument that base metals are going to really start to accelerate higher once we get a better understanding on how soon we're going to see infrastructure spending get done. And I think, you know, you're right to point out that the dollar weakness is, you know, probably the primary catalyst here for the move higher. I think that you're going to see that gold has been in a tremendous amount of pain. You know, it almost fell into bear market territory. It's hard to imagine that, it fell like over 19%. And now I think what you're starting to see is that, there has been steady central bank buying. There's been, the demand, jewelry demand has really been disrupted by the pandemic. And I think that as we start to return to normal, you're going to see gold, I think, really start to get its groove back. And for the most part, the movement in treasury yields was kind of the big disruptor for gold. But I think just like with my call on how you're going to see the dollar break away from that correlation with treasury yields, I think you're going to start to see gold being able to start to rise alongside treasury yields, because I think that there is going to be inflationary pressures that are going to grow. They are, you know, firmly in place for many emerging markets. And I think that that risk is going to be the key for gold for the second half of the year. I'm in the camp that inflationary pressures are going to start to become worrisome for some policymakers. And I think that you're going to see that gold is going to definitely attract some interest because of that. And I think that the move in gold is going to be a lot harder and choppier than it was, I think, in the last couple of years. But for the most part, I think there is a strong bullish case that can be made for gold right around now.
Okay, but it does still sound, again, like it's all about or a lot predicated on inflation picking up, even moving aggressively higher. I have received a wide range of comments in terms of when people think inflation will pick up, and man, it's spread from a couple months to a couple years. So we'll see how it all plays out. But hey, Ed, good recap of the market moves today. It's an interesting day as we are seeing just general optimism abounds for these markets, and clearly a lot of money still that has been sitting on the sidelines that is coming into the markets. Ed, thanks for your time. I'll post a link to the Oanda website, and that's where everyone can read over your daily note. Chat with you next week, Ed. Thanks for your time.
Sounds great. Thank you.